Joshua chapter 4. We're going to begin to look here at what do these stones mean. Now, the children of Israel, because of their disobedience 40 years earlier, were not able to enter the land. Everybody 20 and below died in the wilderness, carcasses all over the wilderness, because of unbelief, they wouldn't go into the land. The 10 spies that said, no, we can't do it. And we thank you for Joshua and Caleb that said, yes, we can. But 40 years of unnecessary wandering in the wilderness because of disobedience. And we can make a lot of parallels there about people individually wandering in the wilderness in their Christian life and not entering into their full inheritance in Christ. And also churches the same way, wandering in the wilderness and not entering into the inheritance that God has them. But here they are. Remember, we left them last week on the banks and getting into the water of the Jordan River. And what a great time that must have been for them. Looking forward to the Canaan land all the way back to Abraham and looking for this place. And now they're going forward in obedience and God is blessing. And they leave behind two heaps of stones that set up as memorials of Israel crossing the Jordan River. 12 stones we'll see first of all in verses 1 through 8 at Gilgal, and 12 stones in the midst of the river in verse 9. There are some commentators that put them together, but the ones I trust, the ones I read after, say it was two different occasions they laid 12 stones. And now surely only God could see the 12 in the river, right? But they do speak of something. And so they were witnesses that God honors faith and works on behalf of those who honor him. Do y'all believe, if we don't believe that, why are we doing this tonight, right? God does honor our faith and does bless us. Really, the equivalent of Joshua chapter 4 to me in the New Testament would be Hebrews chapter 11. The witnesses that witnesses to us that you can live in obedience in the Christian life. They endured hardship and obstacles and difficulties and persecution, and yet they remained faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. So this is the same group in the Old Testament, you might say, that we're talking about here. Now, I want to look, first of all, at the first memorial in verses 1 through 5. Let's begin reading in Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man. Now, in chapter 3, he told them to be preparing 12 men, because I got something for them to do when we get the cross in the Jordan. Take these 12 men, okay, verse 3, and command them, ye of them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and lead them in the lodging place where you lodge this night, of course, in Gilgal. 12 stones, they were to carry them. Other commentators said they were to carry them on their shoulder. So we know they were large stones, right? You wouldn't pick up some little stone and carry it on your shoulder, right? So these are large stones, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So he had prepared Joshua for these 12 men to pick out 12 reliable, trustworthy men, faithful men that would take these 12 stones out of the river where the priest stood in the midst of the dry land and would carry them 8 miles to Gilgal, okay, on the other bank of the river. And we would suppose that God gave them the strength to do that. Where they camped for the night. Now, Gilgal was about 2 miles from Jericho. Remember, that's the first place they're going to have battle is in Jericho. Y'all know the story about that. Maybe we'll look and dig a little deeper when we get to that battle, that we'll see about this battle at Jericho and what it teaches us. But they were to go they're going to prepare here to go to Jericho in chapter 5 next week. This would be the first claim of their inheritance in Canaan land would be at Gilgal, and their first victory would be at Jericho. Now, Gilgal later would be important to Israel. I always like to do a little historical study on these places. And to Israel, it was very important. They crowned their first king at Gilgal. Who was the first king? Saul. And they crowned him, 1 Samuel chapter 11. Of course, he was a king after their own heart, not God's. But secondly, Gilgal had a school of prophets in the days of Elijah and Elisha. You remember reading about that in the Old Testament, school of prophets? And then thirdly, Gilgal was a base of operations for Joshua, right? Now, let's look at the explanation, secondly, for the memorial in verses 6 through 7. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye these stones?" Then you answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. These 12 stones that they were going to carry to Gilgal would be a reminder and a memorial of how God had ministered to them and took care of them and provided for them and had performed this miracle on this day. The Jews would teach their children, teach the next generation about Jehovah and his special relationship to the people of Israel. Now, there are many things. We're going to talk about them in just a moment, and I'll get insight from you. There are many memorials that we have as Christians that the world sees no significance for them whatsoever, right? To an unbelievers, it was just a heap of stones, just a simple pile of stones. But to the believing Israels, it was a constant reminder that Jehovah was working wonders on their behalf. And they would tell their children, this is what God did. When they come across them, "Daddy, what are these stones here for?" Then you tell them what they're there for. God did a miraculous work on behalf of Israel. Amen? And so they're memorials. Now, they run into a problem. I'll share it with you in just a moment. But there was also something else. I want you to note, go down to verse 23 and 24 of chapter 4. Something else they were to do. Look in verse 23 and 24. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over." Remember, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that Bible scholars estimate about 1,000 Israelites. And it would take a heap of water that had to be separated on standing up like a wall to get 1,000 people across, wouldn't it? And verse 23, he says, "As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." Verse 24, "that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." You know, these stones will be a stepping stone, if you will, for them to witness and tell them about the miracle working God. And they were not to lose their fear of the Lord, a powerful Lord. But Israel was like us. They'd wander and rebel and fall away and go after other gods, and God would chasten them, and they would repent and come back. A never-ending cycle of the nation of Israel, and for the church as well. So they were to fear the Lord forever and bear witness of him to the whole world. They were to tell others about this God who can open the river, right? And he is the God of everyone that everyone ought to fear and love and obey. And their blessings were to be a reason for their witness. Have you ever thought about that? How God has blessed you? There are very reasons why we ought to tell others about him, right? Yeah. About the memorials. And we ought to teach our children. That's one. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself now. But what happened with Israel with this Gilgal? Well, in the future, the prophet Hosea and Amos condemned the people for worshiping at Gilgal instead of Jerusalem. They began to worship Gilgal more than they did the God who made those stones, right? They began to worship at Jerusalem. They were to worship at Jerusalem, but they still hung on to Gilgal. And God says, that's not the purpose for it. It has a purpose, but you're abusing the worship of the Almighty God here. So these two prophets, Hosea and Amos, later would warn them about that. And If we don't teach the next generation the truth about the Lord, they'll turn away and follow the world, won't they? Especially, I'm glad we live in a red state. Regardless of what they say, we live in a red state, okay? Now, I'm hoping that we'll find that out in the next election when Stacey Abrams says she's going to run for re-election again, you know. But we ought to tell our children what these stones mean, right? We have many spiritual memorials in our individual life. We have landmarks in our individual life when we got married, right? But this is mainly talking about spiritual landmarks, right? Something God did in your life. Your children. Other events in your life. Grandchildren, right? Those are moments that are special to us. But as far as us individually with spiritual landmarks, you remember the time, day or night, you were saved, right? Remember when you joined your first church? Hopefully it was a Bible church, right? And you remember special, significant spiritual moments in your life? After he called you to salvation, he called you to service, right? Those are spiritual landmarks that we need to share with our children. Daddy, what does this plaque mean here that the church gave you? Well, share with them what it means, right? And there are spiritual landmarks for us individually, but also in our families. There are spiritual landmarks in our families that we ought to share with our children. Our churches. God has blessed us tremendously, the things we've been able to do. Why? We thank God for giving us the money, working through obedient Christians, that we're able to do what we do around here. Amen? And so explain that, Those that don't pay the price and commitment, they know nothing about the hardship of what people had to go through to get there, right? And that's one of the great things in America. They've forgotten about the founding of America. They've forgotten about all the cost and all the bloodshed that's been shed so we can have the liberties we have. And they weren't willing to pay the price. They weren't here when America was paying the price with the blood of their own sons, right? And so it means nothing to them. These little, I don't know what the word is. I'm going to try to be nice. Little snowflakes, millennials, right? They know nothing about sacrifice, right? So as we talk about America, look at it. The Mayflower, right? Plymouth Rock, the Constitution of the United States, right? They all mean something to us, right? But to many people, we ought to be teaching our children about America and its real founding, because in the blue states, they're getting revisionist history. Y'all know that, right? They're not even studying it correctly. America is a racist nation. We were founded on racism, And this is part of Marxism, to knock down the statues, knock down your monuments. They want to get rid of the memorials that point to how America was founded, right? That's what it's all about. They want to burn everything. They want to start all over with their own agenda. It's not 1776. They say it's 16 project, right? They want to even change the date of the founding of America, right? Because that's when the first slaves came over, right? America didn't start there. It started in 1776. Brother John, you can take back that UK, and you can tell Boris Johnson that, right? It didn't start there, right? We ought to teach our children. If the school won't teach them history, we need to teach them history, right? And show them the significance. Because if we don't teach our children and our grandchildren, they're going to be taught wrong by the secular school system. Okay? They're going to be taught that sexual orientation is real. God created a homosexual. God created a lesbian. That's the way God made them. No, that's not. We need to teach them the truth, right? And if we don't do it as parents, and we failed, then the world's going to get a hold of them, right? And they're going to mold them into their mode. I've heard remarks from many people about professors, secular Marxist professors, and say, that's their whole plan, to get the children and begin to brainwash them, right? I've even heard of professors that would tell their students on the first day, your parents put God in your heart and in your mind, but we're going to take God out, and we're going to change you, right? I mean, I tell you what, if you send your kids to a school like that, it's on you then, right? It's on you. So we got memorials that we ought to continue to teach. And then notice the second memorial in verses 8 and 10 of chapter 4. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12. Now, see, these are separate stones. I don't believe the teachers that say it's all talking about, because he's talking about the 12 men, then he changes it to Joshua. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. See, in the midst of the Jordan, the other stones were they going to carry to Gilgal, right? And he says, in the place where their feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. They're there right now, you know, unto this day. So this is the second memorial. Joshua I can't find anywhere in the scriptures where Joshua was told to set up this second memorial, but neither can I see a rebuke by God for doing it, right? The monument at Gilgal reminded the Jews that God opened the Jordan River and brought them safely across into the promised land. The monument in the river reminded them that their old life was buried, right? And they were now walking in the newness of life. It pictures that as they began their journey in Canaan land, claiming their inheritance. These two heaps of stones were the first of several monuments that the Jews put up in the land. And I can name a lot of them that they set up later. This is a memorial. This is, you know, not that the stones had any saving value or any redemptive value, but it's a reminder. It reminded them of what God did at that spot, right? Now, they were in the land. Now they've got to get ready to begin to confront the enemy, Jericho. But before they do that, God had to do some more preparation for them. Now, next Sunday night, we'll talk about preparing for the battle, okay, in chapter 5. And I found out, going through Joshua, that it's better just to cover a large amount of scripture, you know, as we go. Now, what I want to do in close tonight, I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 10. And I'm going to quickly read all the way to verse 24. It's all self-explanatory. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest, and in the presence of the people. Remember, the ark had things in it that signified spiritual significance for what God was doing, but it also symbolized the power and the presence of God. And the children of Reuben, one of the 12 tribes, the children of Gad. Now, my mind goes blank. Some of y'all help me. Now, Reuben, was Reuben the oldest?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why he's listed first. And the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. But we'll see next week they had to do some more things before they began to do battle. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Remember, he said he would do that. I'm going to lift you up, Joshua, and they're going to love you and respect you like they did Moses. And they feared him, and they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, Come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto dry land. When those priests touched dry land, look what happened. And the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as they did before. Amazing, isn't it? And then he says in verse 19, And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of the Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Now, somehow or another, my mind goes to Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended back to the Father in his ascension. And I believe he went up at the same spot on the mountain there. It escapes me right now. Y'all help me. No. Well. Huh? Oh man, it just escapes me. But I believe that Jesus, when he comes back at his second coming, is going to actually set his feet right on that same spot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Mount of Olives. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll go by the simple name. Okay, the Mount of Olives. And it says, where was I at? Verse 23. Let's read 23 again. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. See, we're reading about it today, right? He said, might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen? What a story that is. My encouragement to you people is we need to pass on truth to people. We need to tell the truth, because it's not accepted in many churches today. You know, me and Brother Larry were talking about that over lunch today. You ought to be grateful. And there are churches in Thomas County that are preaching the truth. And we ought to be grateful for them, right? That teach the Word of God. And teach them to our family, to our children, our grandchildren, right? Grandparents, and you are a supplement to your children in raising their children. Can I say it that way? And we ought not be a negative influence, right? So I'm a firm believer in this. This burdens my heart, because if we don't pass on truth, the devil will get them. The devil will get them. I believe that with all my heart. Father, tonight we thank you for your word. No invitation tonight. Help us to teach the coming generations about what these memorials mean in our life. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.